This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. This is Riyad Razazi, welcome you all to the stories of the prophets. This is episode number 8. Ya hello, marhaban bikum. Marhaban all of you, ahlan wa sahlan. This is stories of the prophets. And it's session number 8, or episode number 8. Ahlan wa sahlan. Ya hala Layla, ya hala Diary. Where you are, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban. Those of you on Facebook, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh as well. And those on Instagram, I'm just going to give a minute or two for more people to join, inshallah. All right, just a couple minutes for more people to join, inshallah ta'ala. Alrighty. Ahlan wa sahlan. Ahlan more Kane. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. So we're still with the story of Nuh alayhi salam. I just want to, inshallah ta'ala, recapitulate quickly the story of Nuh, and then we'll move on bi-idhnillah. Because we left off with Nuh after he came down on earth and settled that ship or that ark that he has built. The story of Nuh has so many lessons actually from that story. So we will just quickly, inshallah ta'ala, summarize it quickly, things that we spoke about a couple days ago, and then we move on, inshallah ta'ala. Ahlan Sidi Rais. Ahlan Sidi Yasin. Ya hello, marhaba. Ya hello, marhaban bikum. Ahlan wa sahlan. So anyways, let's start, inshallah ta'ala, all right? So, bismillah. Let's start with bismillah. Ahlan Diane Keen. Ya hello, marhaban. Welcome all of you. I've got Facebook here and I've got Instagram right here as well. So, welcome my brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Those of you who just joined, this is Riyad Razazi, welcoming you all to the stories of the prophets. We're with episode number 8, resuming the story of Nuh alayhi salam. The thing that we spoke about last week, as we started talking about Nuh alayhi salam, after 950 years of struggle, calling his people, and Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed to Nuh that nobody would believe. So Allah Azza wa Jal instructed Nuh to build that ark, and Nuh along with his believers, and it's been narrated that those believers were about 80 or so. These are the only people after 950 years, 1,000 years he lived, 50 years were easy years, but subhanAllah, 950 tough, rough years of struggle, continuous da'wah, day and night, public, private, and whatnot, but only 80 people embraced the religion of Tawheed at the time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Nuh to build that ark, and then as he was building the ark in the middle of the desert, people were making fun of him, they were mocking him, they were ridiculing him, a man building a ship in the middle of the desert, so this is why another thing that they were mocking him, as he gave them da'wah, and after, before even he started building the ark, they threatened to stone him and to beat him up, right? And then they started ridiculing him and mocking him as well, alayhi salam. But he did not quit, doing his job, the job that he was sent out, to do. Him and other prophets, their job is to give da'wah regardless, right? So the job of the preachers is to preach. And then it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guides, right? My job is just to relate what's in the books, to relate to you, what Allah Azza wa Jalla says. And at the end, it will be up to you whether you want to listen to me or not listen to me, whether you want to come and join or quit, or, it's all, it's your choice, a prophet does not put a knife, or a gun on the neck of people telling them to believe. A preacher or the sheikh or an imam is the same thing. I cannot, tell you stop praying. I cannot tell you, like force you. Of course I can tell you please pray, You know, but I cannot force you to pray. I cannot force you to wear hijab. I cannot force you to become a believer. We have no power. The guidance is not, you know, up to us. The guidance from Allah. But what's up to us is to do the job. Is to do that job. And the job is to convey the message. So here, you know, is a privilege. Really, it's a brief privilege, you know, to do the work of the prophets. And all of you should be doing that work. Remember when I suggested last week to focus, you know, after you have 950 years, Nuh, and then, you know, only 80 people embraced the vision of Tawheed. So I said, let's focus, maybe each one of you focus on one person, you know, and strive for that person to, inshallah ta'ala, become good. And again, the natija, the result, it is not up to you. The result is up to Allah Azza wa Jal. But my job and your job, our job, is to do the job of the prophets, alayhim salam. What a privilege, what an honor to be given and doing the job of the prophet. And today, inshallah, today, in this time and era, you know, 2020, you know, with all the technologies and whatnot, you could be giving da'wah and doing da'wah in the comfort of your home, subhanallah, anywhere you are. You know, the prophets, they were nomads. A lot of them were nomads, travelers, like Ibrahim alayhi salam. You see with Ibrahim alayhi salam traveling from one, you know, country to another. You know, and here nowadays you can give da'wah in the comfort of your home, subhanallah. But at least do something, right? At least do something. Don't stay stagnant. DSS. Don't stay stagnant. You know, stay stagnant. Do something for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, na'am. You may say, I'm praying. Good, the salah is yours. I'm reading Quran. Reading Quran is for you. Siyam is for you. You know, zakat is for... But do something for the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, your salah, it is good that you pray, alhamdulillah, you go to the masjid and do your salah and whatnot. This is all good. You know, you read the Quran and you go for hajj. This is for yourself. But how about the deen of Allah? Because Allah will ask us that question, by the way, just so you know. What have you done for my religion, for the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal? What have you done for me lately? You know, what have you done for the deen of Allah lately? What have you done for the religion of Allah lately? You know? Have you spoken to anyone? Have you called anyone? Have you sent a message? Have you done something online? So, what I'm trying to tell you, brothers and sisters, you and I, nobody has no excuse. No one has any excuse not to give da'wah to Allah Azza wa Jalla. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, بَلِّغْ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً, you don't have to be a scholar to give da'wah. Mm-mm. Abu Bakr, when he embraced Islam, he did not stay with the Prophet Muhammad for months studying. Studying and studying and becoming alim and faqih and mufti for him to go and give da'wah. As soon as he embraced Islam, right away he went and he brought six people from those who are given the glad tidings from the people of Jannah. Al-Mubashshirin bil Jannah. Right? He brought six of them right away. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Convey about me, the Prophet says. Convey about me. Even if you know one ayah, convey that ayah. Convey it. Tell people about who you are. About Islam. The beauty of this religion. I remember when I was in San Francisco, you know, one Caucasian guy, he came to our masjid. He came to the masjid and subhanAllah, after his father died. And then he says, I blame all of you. He's a convert. He says, I blame all of you Muslims. You know, we were neighbors to the mosque. You people never came to us to talk to us about Islam. My father died as a non-believer. And I hold you all responsible. Wow. I remember, I will never forget this. San Francisco downtown mosque. You know? He says, you know, we were neighbors. Nobody ever came to talk to us about Islam. But he says, look, you know, amazing. He says, Americans, he says, we are great business people. We're great business. This is what he said. He says, we Americans are great business people. You go to any village, not country, any village, any tribe, anywhere in the world, you will find in a mountain, you will find a shop that sells Coke and Pepsi and Fanta and whatnot. Amazing. See, we're great business people. Coke has reached all over the world. Pepsi, anywhere. Even in a village in the middle of nowhere, you will find Coke and Pepsi. He says, we Americans are great business people. You people, Muslims, you have the key to Jannah. You have the key to paradise. but you're keeping it for yourselves. So what am I going to tell this guy now? Because he's pointing fingers at us saying, you do not doing your job. And yes, he's right. My job is to convey the message. It's not for this to become a Muslim or that to be. For me, it's just to convey that message. And the least, my brothers and sisters, yani, know, because as I said initially, you don't have to be alim, a scholar, to give da'wah. But at least you should know that which you're calling for, you're not calling for something that is haram and you say it's halal, or something that is halal, you say it's haram. Right? At least you should know that, you know, to that extent. That's it. That's all you need to know. Right? If you know قُلْ وَاللَّهُ أَحَدْ convey قُلْ وَاللَّهُ أَحَدْ. If you know قُلْ عَدُوا بِالْفَلَقْ convey قُلْ عَدُوا بِالْفَلَقْ. Whatever you know. At least give da'wah in many ways. Give da'wah with your manners. Give da'wah with your manners. Give da'wah with your outfit. Na'am. With your adornments, the clothes that you wear. The clothes that you wear, your hijab is da'wah. Your manners are da'wah with people. Your moral conducts are da'wah with people. Right? So you don't have, you know, like I'm saying, you can give da'wah in so many ways. On top of that, may, you know, be an expert in whatever you do. Be excellent in whatever you do. Excel in whatever that you do. You're a student, be the best in what you do. You're, mashallah, an engineer, be the best in what you do. You're a doctor, be the best at what you do. You're a lawyer, be the best at what you do. That, in fact, could be as well a da'wah to others. Muhammad so-and-so. Fatima so-and-so, the best, mashallah, lawyer, the best doctor, the best surgeon, the best Muslim, you know. You, and then your garment, the way you present yourself, the way you dress yourself, and the way, this is also da'wah as well. On top of that, say, you know, tell them about this la ilaha illallah, right? So in a nutshell, right, my job is to convey the message. Your job and my job is to do the job of the prophets. And I said initially, what an honor. What an honor is it to do the job of the prophets. And the prophets were da'is ilallah. Du'a ilallah. They were du'a. They were da'i. They were people giving da'wah to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So what's an honor? When they ask you, what's your title? What do you do? I'm da'i. Allah. I do the job of the prophets. I'm a da'iya. I'm a da'i. That's my title. I'm a da'iya. He is a doctor, he's a doctor da'iya. He is a lawyer, he's a lawyer da'iya. He is a mashallah, a surgeon da'iya. He is whatever you do, a cab driver da'iya. When I used to drive a cab in the US, you know, as I used to go to school, I used to drive a cab part-time. And that was a great, subhanAllah, a platform for me to give da'wah. You know, somebody, you know, you pick, you know, a cab driver, you, the whole thing, what you're doing, you pick people up from one location to another. From that one location to another, that's an opportunity to give da'wah. So at any way, all I'm trying to say now, brothers and sisters, nobody has any excuse not to give da'wah. No one has any excuse not to give da'wah. This is what I'm trying to say here, my brothers and sisters. Right? So whether from home, whether from home, whether live, whether in a masjid, anywhere you are, right? Do the job of the prophets and convey the message of La ilaha illallah. Convey the message of La ilaha illallah. Anyways, my brothers and sisters, back to Nuh alayhi salam. After, you know, he never quit giving da'wah, but then when Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed to him that that there's no one would believe after those that have believed, then he focused on his 80 people. He focused on his 80 people, and then he moved on. He moved on, alayhi salam. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla instructed him to build the ark, to build the ark, or to build that, you know, the ship. And then after he built the ship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also instructed him to call people in twos. Remember when I said that last week? To call, you know, all the creatures of Allah Azza wa Jalla in twos. You know, from animals and all from whatever the believers that he had. And from the animals, you know, methna, in pairs. You know, animals, whether it's a lion or a lioness or a tiger or a tigress or whatever. You know, all in pair. A rooster with a chicken, you know, all in pairs. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the sign, he sent that sign. The sign was, as the oven gushed out or overflowed, or water started springing out from the ground, so from the earth. So there was rain sending, the sky sending rain, and then water coming out from the ground, and then that boat started floating, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the Quran, waves as humongous as mountains. Waves as humongous as mountains. وَهِيَ تَجْرِي بِهِمْ فِي مَوْجٍ كَالْجِبَالِ وَهِيَ تَجْرِي بِهِمْ Embark in it, as Allah Azza wa Jalla told him. Embark. وَهِيَ تَجْرِي بِهِمْ And the ship is floating with waves against waves as humongous, as big as waves, as mountains. And then it's been said that he stayed in the ark with his believers for 6 months. That's what, according to historians, for about 6 months. وَقِيلَ يَا أَرْضُ ابْلَعِي مَاءَكِ وَيَا سَمَاءُ أَقْلِعِي وَغِيضَ الْمَاءُ وَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ وَاسْتَوَتْ عَلَى الْجُودِي Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he, sent his orders on telling the earth, swallow your water, and telling the sky to withhold the rain, as it's been raining and flooding, for months. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his orders. The order to the rain to stop, the order to the earth to swallow that water, and then khalas, the ship or the ark settled on a mount called Al-Judi, which is in Turkey. But before that, my brothers and sisters, I stopped in that conversation or dialogue that happened between Nuh and his son. Because Nuh's son, one of them, did not embrace or did not believe in his father. So there was this conversation between Nuh and his son. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, وَهِيَا تَجْرِي بِهِمْ فِي مَوْجٍ كَالْجِبَالِ ونادى نوح ابنه وكان في معزل يا بني اركب معنا ولا تكن مع الكافرين. As this boat, was floating, against these waves, ونادى نوح, and then Nuh, he called his son. And his son, he pulled himself out, and he wanted to run away. Where was he? He wanted to run, escape where? To go to the mountains and to be safe from the rain, to be safe from the flood. So Nuh, he called his son. Ya bunay yarkab ma'ana. Oh my son, board with us. Come, embark the boat with us. Ya bunay yarkab ma'ana. Wala takun ma'al kafirin. Don't separate yourself from us. Come and stay with me. Come be with me. You'll be saved. Don't be from the kafirin. Don't be from the non-believers. Come and stay with me. قال سآوي إلى جبل يعصمني من الماء قال لا عاصم اليوم من أمر الله قال لا عاصم اليوم من أمر الله إلا من رحم وحال بينهما الموج فأصبح من المغرق فكان من المغرقين. And then his son said, Oh my father, I will go and try to seek refuge by, this mountain, so I can save myself from the deluge, from that flood. But his father told him, لا عاصم اليوم من أمر الله. There's nothing that can save you from the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Oh my son, this is a punishment of Allah. There's no one who can save you from that punishment. Come be with me. Come embark the boat with us. My brothers and sisters, فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ And he was amongst those who got drowned. And I related this to some of our situation today with our children. When you try to tell your son or daughter, don't do that. I know that path. I know it very well. It does not lead except to being astray. Don't do that. And then when your son or daughter says, I know what I'm doing. I'm old enough. I'm an adult now and I know what I'm doing, right? I'm an adult and I know what I'm doing. So this is exactly, the story of Nuh with his son. When the father is telling his son, come with us. And the son is saying, No, I know what I'm doing. My brothers and sisters, if it's Instagram, it is not for me, because Facebook is working fine. I don't know if this interruption is most likely from Instagram again. Allahu a'lam. But alhamdulillah, my internet is really, really very, you know, fiber optic, very high speed. So the thing is, I've got more people here on Facebook. So there's no, you know, Mariana Lula Robe and Kiko Leblanc, how's how is it working on Facebook? Is it cutting you guys there, or is it okay? He says it's great. So it must be Instagram interrupting again. Allahu Ta'ala A'lam. I don't know, Allah, this is Instagram, you know. It is what it is. So I'm really sorry. Again, one more time. Facebook is working fine. Instagram is interrupting. Bear with me, inshallah ta'ala. If you're not, then you can go back and switch. So anyways, back, my brothers and sisters, with the story of Nuh alayhi salam with his son. And that, you know, they say in there it's very good, you know, on Instagram, on Facebook. They say it's very good. Maybe here it sort of like maybe cut off a couple times. But again, I apologize on behalf of Instagram. It is not mine, wallah. I'm not the one who invented this Instagram. You know, I didn't design it. May Allah guide them and help them, you know, loud and clear back there. Zakum Allah khair. But anyways, I'm just thinking, a man looking at his son getting drowned, and there is nothing he can do to help him. Right? A man looking at his son getting drowned. You see your son, you see your blood. You see your blood, you see your skin, you see, you know, a part of you, your eyes, a part of you getting, you know, drowned, and you cannot help. There's nothing you can do. So Nuh alayhi salam, he saw his son. He saw his son getting drowned, and he warned him and told him to come and embark the boat. But he did not want to. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha. Fakana min al-mughraqin. So my brothers and sisters, what lesson do we learn from the story of Nuh? Let me get you guys, inshallah ta'ala, to work with me here a little bit. Diane Keane, Mu'nisa, Yasin Rice, Ferdowsa. Okay, what lesson do we learn from this amazing story of the story of Nuh? Many lessons, but maybe if you were to give me two main lessons. Yasin Rice, patience, mashallah ta'ala, mashallah. Patience. What else do we learn from the story of Nuh alayhi salam? Those of you on Instagram and those of you on Facebook, what else? Never give up. Na'am, never give up. Never give up. What else, you know, we learn from the story of Nuh? Always keep trying in making da'wah. Okay. Always steadfast. Yes. Patience. Patience. Yes. It's only Allah who guides. MashaAllah, Layla. It is only Allah who guides. Muna ya Muna. Ya halab Muna. Trust Allah. Patience. Na'am. What else do we learn from the story of Nuh? Of Nuh. Na'am. Nuh alayhi salam. Diary, trust Allah, mashallah. Na'am, true. This is all guidance is not connected to your parents. Allahu Akbar. That's a nice one. That's a nice one. Guidance is not connected to the prophets. Tawakkul as well. Mashallah, Munazza. Guidance is not connected to the prophets. It's not connected to the parents. We, parents and prophets, can only show the path. But it is up to Allah to guide. Yes. Sacrifice. Waleed. Zantot. Halal wa sahlan akh Waleed. Sacrifice, tawakkul munaza. If Allah is the only one who guides, true, na'am, sacrifice. So these are the two main, you know, lessons that we learn from, you know, mainly sabr, patience, being brave, Diane, all right, being brave. You know, the patience, a lot of you spoke about patience. The path to Allah is challenging, but He will get you through it, through anything. Of course, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah help is near. Na'am. You're going to see that when we talk about, you know, Hud alayhi salam as well. So my brothers and sisters, listen, when we talk about patience, as I mentioned last week, was mentioned in the Quran about 90 times. 90 times Allah is just talking about sabr. And subhanAllah, listen to this, my brothers and sisters. Listen to what I'm going to say now. With regard to patience. All the crimes You maybe tell me if I'm wrong or right, but let me share what I'm going to say with you, and then tell me whether you agree or disagree. All the bad habits, all the bad, you know, bad habits and crimes and whatnot, they're because of lack of patience. Killing, lack of patience. Adultery, lack of patience. Committing crimes, lack of patience. Lack of patience. Name me a crime or name me a bad habit. I tell you, it has to do with lack of patience. Lack of patience. My brothers and sisters, plants don't grow fajatan. Plants, trees, you know, nothing grow in no time. Al-janin, the fetus, the embryo in the womb of the mother, you know, does not, you know, is not born fajatan, is not born, you know, in no time. A shams, the sun does not go, you know, does not rise all of a sudden. So even the shams, subhanAllah, even the sun when it's rising, you can see the sign, you can see the signals, you can see those shu'a, those rays, you know, everything takes time. والسماوات والأرض, the heavens and the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them in 6 days, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He could have said, be, and it is. Right, be and it is, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the thing that He has ordained, things takes time. You know, to teach us, not, you know, perseverance and patience. Zina, adam sab, like, yeah, stealing is lack of patience. Exactly. Adultery, lack of patience. And so much when Allah Azza wa Jal keeps saying, isbiru, isbiru, inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. My brothers and sisters, imagine this beautiful ayah. Allah is with those who have patience. Allah. Everything worthwhile takes time. True, Nawal. MashaAllah aliki. True. True. Even the sisters and brothers, those of you who cook, let me ask you this. All of you, those of you who cook. I cook hearts. In Morocco, we say, you cook hearts. Yani, when you give trouble, when you make people cry, when you deceive and disappoint people. When you disappoint people, you say in Morocco, you cook people's hearts. You know, I cook hearts. I cook. Just when, even when you cook, a food that cooks in a low heat tastes better than the food that cooks in a fast heat, isn't it? Strong heat, you know. Something like microwaved versus something that is cooked nicely and easily, let's say, on a very low heat. The food does not taste the same. You tell me if I'm wrong or right. Things, like you said, the more patient na'am you are, the better thing you will get, inshallah ta'ala. Things take time. Beautiful things take time. Na'am, Umair, you know, it's not, even if you want to go and marry that girl, right? If you want to go and marry, let's say, Mu'nisa, right? If you want to go and marry, let's say, Mu'nisa. And then you go to her father. Her father, he has to torture you a little bit. Right? Umair. Her father, he has to torture you a little bit. Right? He has to tell you, go back, no, me, no, this, go get this, go get that, go get this. And he makes you wait. He has to, يعني كده, he has to, because if he was to say, you want Mu'nisa? There she is, take her. Take her and take her mom with her. Take her and take her mom. Two for one. Take her and take her sister. Two, three for one. Yalla hood. You know? He has to, like he said, he has to grill you. Like, you know, Yasin, he said that. He's got to grill you. He's got to, you know, make sure that, because he cannot just tell you, ha, take. So that you can value Mu'nisa. You know, so that you can value his daughter. I disagree to a certain extent. Yani, if you want to grill me, don't grill me, yani, suck the blood off of me. Yani, grill me Torah Torah. Grill me Torah Torah, and I do it with my head like this. You know, I'm like this, you know. Grill him, shui shui. Easy, easy. Easy, easy. Don't grill like, like, يعني شوي شوي, يعني, come on. So that's what I'm saying. All I'm trying to tell you here, things that take time, they will taste beautiful at the end. They will have a taste, a sweetness to them at the end. Yeah, take time. Exactly. So, and number two, we learn, and we learn about tadhiya. We learn also about perseverance. A lot of you mentioned perseverance. We learn a lot about perseverance, you know, when, you know, 950 years, 950 of da'wah, day, night, day, night. And we will learn this also from the life of the Prophet Muhammad, day and night, giving da'wah. So much so that one day, you know, when he went to Abu Jahl, you know, late at night, not Abu Jahl, his uncle, you know, and then he was to give him da'wah. And it was a rainy, rainy night, and the Prophet Muhammad was also wet. And then he went to knock at the door late at night, you know, just so you can give da'wah to his uncle. Right. So Nuh alayhi salam, a lot of perseverance, tadhiya, and sacrifice. Sacrifice all his time, all his life, his blood, his sweat, giving da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my brothers and sisters, people stayed, you know, and lived happily after they landed on earth, and the earth was, alhamdulillah, got freed. The earth got freed from all the the earth got freed from all the shirk. There was no more shirk, alhamdulillah. Only those 80 believers lived there happily with Nuh alayhi salam until Nuh passed away for a few, you know, generations, and then people started, you know, getting into shirk again because of shaitan. One more time, he could not, you know, deviate those people who were with Nuh, because there was a prophet with them, until he waited until not that first generation, not that second generation, but the third generation, and started introducing one more time the worship of idols. And then people again started worshipping idols. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to them another prophet. My brothers and sisters, let me ask you this. How many Arab prophets are they? There are 124,000 prophets, more or less. 124,000 prophets. Amongst them, how many Arabs? How many Arabs? How many Arab prophets? Four. 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 Do you know their names? Do you know their names? The Arabi prophets, or the Arab prophets, there are only four. Hud, Saleh, Shu'aib, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. These are the four Arab prophets. Hud, Saleh, Ibrahim is not Arab, Yashmin. No. Hud, Saleh, Shu'aib, and Muhammad. Ibrahim is not Arab. Ibrahim is not Arabi. You got it wrong. We'll talk about Ibrahim alayhi salam. We'll talk about Ibrahim. But these are the four Arab prophets. Hud, Saleh, Shu'aib, and Muhammad alayhi salam. Oh, Umair, come on. I said this like 3-4 times and now you're coming back. Adam and this. La ya ammi. I'm telling you, I'm going to mention the hadith, which is sahih hadith, reported by Ibn Hibban, you know, and narrated by Abu Dharr, that the Prophet Muhammad was in Abu Dharr. You know, the four Arab prophets, you have Hud, Saleh, Shu'aib, and your prophet. Yani your prophet, that means Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Anyways, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let me summarize this for you, my brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Nuh and his people right on earth. And then they landed on Al-Judi, right? I said that Mount Al-Judi, which is in Turkey. Right? وَلَقَدْ تَرَكْنَاهَا آيَةً فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِّرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed we have left it. Indeed we have left that ark there. He left the ark there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left it as a reminder for other generations to come. That ark is sitting there. It's a reminder for other generations to come. This ark belongs to Nuh alayhi salam, where his people, you know, did not believe. So Allah destroyed them. So Allah left the ark as it is there on that Judi Mount in Turkey as a reminder and people to take heed. So Nuh, my brothers and sisters, had 4 children. One did not believe, the one that was left out. And those that believed were 3. Sam, Ham, Yafir. Listen up. I'm giving you some information. Maybe you want to take some notes. I hope you are. Sam, Ham, Yafir. These are the 3 Arab, prophets that, children of Nuh alayhi salam. The 4th one was not a believer, so he got destroyed. But Sam, Ham, and Yafir. The Arabs, by the way, they come from Sam. We call them the Samirites. Samirites, they come from Sam. The Arabs, you know, they come from that progeny, the progeny of Sam alayhi salam. And most Africans, I don't know, me, I'm from Morocco. So Morocco is Arab and African, because they said most Africans come from Ham. So you have Ham or Ham and Sam. Most Africans come from Ham. From Sam tribe, and then from Sam came this tribe called, what they say, Yafir, by the way, before I proceed. They say that the Russians and most Asians and Chinese, they come from Yafir. Yafir, who is the son of Nuh alayhi salam. So Sam, the Arabs come from the progeny of Sam. The Africans come from the progeny of Ham. And the Asians, they come from the progeny of Yafir. Yafir. These are the children of Nuh alayhi salam. And from Sam, my brothers and sisters, came this tribe called Ad. Remember this. Remember this tribe. It's called Ad. One of the most strongest tribes Allah has ever created on earth, if not the most powerful tribe ever. The most powerful tribe that Allah has ever created, called Ad. Where did they used to live? In a place called Hadramaut in Yemen. In Yemen, called Hadramaut. And this is, by the way, this is where the Arabs come from. Where the Arab, the origin of the Arab come from Yemen. The origins of Arab from Yemen, right? So there is this tribe called Ad. They used to live there. Or also called Al-Ahqaf. By the way, there is a surah, there's a chapter in the Quran called Al-Ahqaf. It is this place called Al-Ahqaf. And I will tell you a lot about this Al-Ahqaf. Al-Ahqaf. Ad, Ad, Ad. Ayn, Alif, Dal, Ad. And then you have the tribe or the chapter called Al-Ahqaf. Al-Ahqaf, called Al-Ahqaf. The empty, this, you know where this is happening? This is happening what we call today the empty quarter. Al-Rub' al-Khali. The empty quarter, it's all desert. But before, my brothers and sisters, that desert was not desert. It was all green, subhanAllah. You will see. It was green. Green with trees and green with, you know, with beautiful plants and whatnot and lakes and but because of Ad, because of Al-Ahqaf, Allah turned it into Al-Rub' al-Khali, the empty core. It's all sand. You can even type it on your Google map, Al-Rub' al-Khali, the empty core. You will see all desert, nothing. But before that, there was a tribe living there. One of the most powerful, if not the most powerful tribe that Allah has ever created. They were surrounded by mountains, this Ahqaf. And the people were gigantic. The people of Ad, they were gigantic, they were strong. And very civilized. Naam, very civilized. You will see what I'm talking about. Very civilized, very gigantic. They used to build massive palaces. And they used to build these palaces in mountains. Allahu Akbar. They used to carve them in mountains. Al-Ahqaf. Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi'ad. Iram is also their name. Iram dhati al-imad. التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بعاد. This is in سورة الفجر. والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بعاد إرم ذات العماد التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد. We will talk more about the surah and this ayah talking about the people of Ad. My brothers and sisters, despite their advancement, subhanallah, even today, despite the technologies and despite where we are in terms of our advancement, we will never be able to do what the people of Ad have done. Guaranteed. التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد. Nothing, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, nothing has ever been created on earth like it. Despite our advancement and our technologies, even today, we will never be able to do what the people of Ad have done at that time. At that time. They were civilized people. And as I said, they were so gigantic. In Surah Al-Shu'ara, verse number 130, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا بَطَشْتُمْ بَطَشْتُمْ جَبَّارِينَ. Listen. This is how strong they were. They were so strong that one of them will pull a palm tree with his bare hand. Imagine a palm tree, how big a palm tree. He will take a palm tree with his bare hand and he will pull it off. وَإِذَا بَطَشْتُمْ بَطَشْتُمْ جَبَّارِينَ. When you rule with pride and foolishness and toughness. They were tough. Okay, it's back now again. It's back. Anyways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let me go back that just in case you guys missed it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا بَطَشْتُمْ بَطَشْتُمْ جَبَّارِينَ وَإِذَا بَطَشْتُمْ بَطَشْتُمْ جَبَّارِينَ. So that's Shu'ara, verse number 130. They were so strong that one of them will pull a palm tree with his bare hand. That's how powerful they were. So, وَتَنْحِتُونَ مِنَ الْبُيُوتِ وَتَنْحِتُونَ مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتَ. They used to carve houses from tree, from these mountains. They will go to a mountain. Imagine, they see a mountain, say, oh, I want to build my house in that mountain. So he will take the whole mountain and he will carve the mountain, and build a home of his in that mountain. This is how, these people were civilized and powerful and strong. It's been said, my brothers and sisters, that they had a beautiful garden because they had so much khair. As I mentioned, today is all desert, but before it was all trees and gardens and fruits. A woman would carry her basket and then she would just cross the garden and her basket would be filled with fruits. There was so much khair that they had. So much khair. And they were Arab. Their origins from Ad and from Thamud, the tribe, the people of Thamud, also called Thamud, the people of Ad called Thamud. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them a prophet by the name of Hud. A prophet by the name of Hud alayhi salam. وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخُوهُمْ هُودَ أَخَاهُمْ هُودَ. وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ, to the people of Ad, their brother Hud. Their brother, was he their brother? Was he their brother? No, he was not their brother. From blood brother, but just to show his gentleness towards them. He lives with them. He was like their brother. I'm your brother. I'm here to, I want to save you. I want to save you from this shirk that you're doing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا. You will say what Allah Azza wa Jalla will say about Shu'aib and about Salih as well. So anyways. So this story, this is just a summary. Let's go back to the story. Brothers and sisters, the story, as I said, it happens in Yemen. The region of Yemen, Saudi Arabia, Oman, you know, in that, you know, the Arab Peninsula, you know, we call it today الربع الخالي, the half, you know, the empty quarter, which today, if you want to go, you know, it's like around Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Oman. This is where the story happens, the story of Ad. The story of Ad. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, by the way, Hud is mentioned 7 times in the Quran, just so you know. Those of you who are taking notes, Hud, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions him in the Quran, yani by name, 7 times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ahqaf. Al-Ahqaf, this is the surah that talks a lot about, you know, about Hud. You have Al-Ahqaf and you have also Surah Al-A'raf. Al-A'raf and Al-Ahqaf. So we'll start with Al-Ahqaf, verse number 21. وَذْكُرْ أَخَا عَادٍ إِذْ أَنذَرَ قَوْمَهُ بِالْأَحْقَافِ. And talk about, O Muhammad, mention to them the story of Ad, the people of Ad, their brother Hud, who was sent down to them to warn them, the people of Ad. By the way, brothers and sisters, something so that I don't forget. I don't want to forget this. This is something that is very important. As I mentioned earlier, I don't know if you caught me when I was talking about, you know, Shaitan when he came and he waited for the third generation, right? He did not, because he could not, you know, deviate the first generation of, you know, of Nuh. Nuh was there, and then after Nuh passed away, you know, there were, you know, still those believers, so he could not deviate them. He waited until after the third generation, and after the third generation, my brothers and sisters, he told them about, you know, pious people, let us go and build, you know, go to their graves and worship their graves. So again, one more time, people started going to their graves. We're not only worshiping the graves, but taking samples like from the soil of their graves and molding idols. And once more, the worship of idols became evolved at the time. You know, again, the sabab, the reason was Shaytan again. So Shaytan, you know, he comes in by steps. Shaytan has his traps. By the way, I teach this, you know, in my course called Heart Serene, talking about the traps of Shaytan. Shaytan has traps, many traps. His main concern, his main aim is to make someone commit kufr. Commit kufr. He wants it to become a disbeliever. This is his main concern, his main aim, right? His main aim is to make you commit kufr. But if he fails, he does not quit, because Shaytan is not a quitter. Listen to this. Shaytan is not a quitter. He doesn't quit. Number one, he tries to make you commit kufr. If he fails, he tries to make you do bid'ah. What's bid'ah? Bid'ah is worst. You know, committing kufr before making or committing major sins, he makes you do bid'ah. What's bid'ah? Bid'ah are things that you waste your time with, from things that you think that ibadat, but Allah Azza wa Jalla will not accept them from you. So you just waste your time doing certain ibadat which are not ibadat, according to the Prophet Muhammad. So we call them innovations, or we call them bid'ah. So he does not quit. If he fails making you commit bid'ah, then he moves into the third trap, which is the trap of making you commit major sins. And then if he fails into making you commit major sins, then he moves into making you commit minor sins. He's got all this lined up. Shaytan is smart. This is what it is. And he does not quit. He is more patient absolutely than us. Yes. He's got all this lined up, one after another. So after, you know, minor signs, he's still not quitting, because he has no chance with you, because mashallah, you're very, you know, well focused and you know about him. So what does he do? He tries to make you waste your time in things that are of lower reward. Should I learn ilm? Or should I, learn ilm? You go and learn ilm? Or maybe I would just sit and do dhikr. He will say, you know what? Dhikr is better for you. Sit and do dhikr. Because when you do dhikr, Allah will plant trees for you in Jannah. So sit and do dhikr. He was not going to let you to go and seek knowledge. Why? Because he knows if you seek knowledge, you're going to learn about him. You're going to learn about halal. You're going to learn about haram. You're going to become a da'i. He does not want you to do that. He does not want you to become a da'i. So he does not want you to go and learn ilm and become alim. He does not want to let you, he does not want you to learn about your religion. He wants you to be who he is. Just stay home, do dhikr. Yeah, go to the masjid, pray, and come back. Khalas, at least you're doing something. But he does not want you to get the bigger picture. Right? And then if he fails doing that, he makes you get involved in things that are just permissible. What are permissible? Permissible things that are things that you, things that are of no benefit. They're permissible. يعني you don't get reward and you don't get good deeds for doing them. They are yajuz, permissible things. Permissible things. He wants, makes you waste your time with a lot of yajuz things, yajuz things, yajuz, permissible, permissible. Is there a reward for eating ice cream? Some of you may say, yes, big sheikh, big reward, big time reward for eating ice cream. Is there any reward, hasanat, for eating chocolate? There is no hasanat for eating chocolate. Is there any hasanat for eating watermelon? And you're just eating watermelon. You know, you say bismillah, eat well. So he just makes you do a lot of, you know, things that are of just yajuz things. You know, some of you may say, I know. No. There's a lot of reward in eating ice cream, Sheikh. There's reward in me. There's reward in me eating ice cream, you know. And chocolate, especially Belgian chocolate, huh? Ah, Nawal, huh, Layla, huh? I know about that Belgian chocolate, huh? I know about that Belgian chocolate. I was told that Belgian chocolate is the best chocolate in the world. yes, in rice. Yes, in rice. Hasanat of the stomach. Wastage of time. Exactly, wastage of time. You know, I was told that Belgian chocolate is the best chocolate in the world. I am chocoholic. Nawal, she's chocoholic. Belgium waffles. But I love that one. You know, Nawal, it's better to be chocoholic than alcoholic. Right? Alhamdulillah. Better be chocoholic than alcoholic. Allahumma, or dragoholic. Or sheikhoholic. There's some people who are just sheikhoholic. They follow the shuyukh. Don't be sheikhoholic. You know, be chocoholic, but don't be sheikhoholic. You're following the sheikh everywhere. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. Ya watermelon, humayla, huh? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. It's okay, Rikawaza, Rikazawa. It's pausing, so I'm going to pause too, okay? I'm going to pause. I was just saying, it's better to be chocoholic than sheikhoholic. Sheikhoholic or drugoholic or alcoholic. Why sheikhoholic? Sheikhoholic, there's some people who just follow shuyukh. They get, you know, they just, you know, they the shadow of the shuyukh. So it's okay to be chocoholic than sheikhoholic. No, honey mangoes. Yes, Nasima, honey mangoes is good, you know. So is that, so that's what I'm saying. The shaitan has stages, has traps. You know, what kind of traps? What kind of traps? Like I said, kufr, number one. If you fail committing kufr, he's gonna, you know, try to make you fall into bid'ah. If he fails into making you fall into bid'ah, he's gonna make you fall into major sins. If he fails, then he's gonna move into minor sins. If he fails, he's gonna move into things of lower reward. If he fails, he's gonna move into things that are just like yajuz, permissible things. Yajuz, you don't get no reward for doing, you don't get no bad deeds for doing. You know, shaitan is always busy. So he waited for the third generation. He waited for the third generation to deviate them, my brothers and sisters. Again, what did he say? What did he do? What did he say and what did he do? What happened to the people of Ad? What did Hud do to them? How long has he been calling them for? Has he been calling them for like 950 years like Nuh? Has he been given da'wah? Did he have any, by the way, did Nuhud have any any miracle. What kind of miracle? What kind of miracle did he have? His people, how long did it take them to believe or not to believe? And those who believed, how many were there anyways? We know with Nuh, it was about 80 people. Yes, Humaira. Shopaholic is even worse. Shopaholic. You know, there's some that are worst, right? You know, so, but anyways, I was saying, with Nuh, 80 people. With Hud, how many people believed in him? How long has he stayed with them and remained for them, calling them? What did he tell them? And then those of them who did not believe, I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the deluge and the flood upon the people of Nuh. How about the people of Hud? What did Allah azza wa jal afflict upon them? Insha'Allah ta'ala, we will talk some more about Hud alayhi salam, and then after Hud we will talk about another Arabi prophet, insha'Allah ta'ala. Another Arabi prophet. Remember the Arab prophets: Hud, Salih, Shu'aib, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We will talk about more about Nuh, insha'Allah ta'ala, tomorrow. Barakallahu fikum, jazakum Allah khair. Thank you, Humaira Tokair. Thank you, Lula Robe. Thank you, Nasima. Thank you, Munazza Ayub. Thank you, Layla, for being active, and Nisa for being active, and Umair for being active, and Nawal for being active. You can go back and eat your chocolate now, Nawal. Thank you, Yasmin, for being active. Jazakum Allah khair, brothers and sisters, all of you, wherever you are, on Facebook or Instagram. Sidi Yasin. Thank you, Sidi Yasin. Barakallahu fik. Thank you very much. Send me some chocolate from Belgium, my man. Send me some chocolate. Thank you, Light Spread. If you share, yeah, share the chocolate. Share the chocolate. At least you will get some reward when you share the chocolate. Thank you, Munazza. Thank you, Nasima. Thank you, Humaira. Jazakum Allah khair. Thank you, Khadija Elizabeth Shingler. Thank you for coming. We'll see you tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, bi idhnillah. Thank you. I'll give you an address. No problem. I'll send you my address. Jazakum Allah khair. I'll be addicted. Naam. I'm already addicted. I just did not tell you, but I'm already addicted. May Allah bless you all. Thank you, Humaira. Thank you, Zakum Lakhir, Facebook. Barakallahu fikum. We'll see you tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum, Facebook.